All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. So today is our last daf of Maseches Chulin. Beautiful, beautiful Gemara ahead of us today. So remember again, we are picking up today's daf is Kuf Mem Beis. We are picking up on Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, 141b. We are picking up, we left off Hahu. Let's actually pick up by that Hahu. I'm going to count from the top because it's less than. So it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines down in the wide lines. We actually mentioned this case. We began this case yesterday. Let's begin from this point. Says the Gemara, Hahu de gazinu legapa b'shachos. Remember again, what we were speaking about was the idea that this individual, clipped the wings of the mother bird, and then he sent her away. Now, obviously, his intention was what? He wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of shiloach hakein, so he wanted to fulfill the mitzvah ultimately of sending away the mother bird, but he also wanted the mother bird for himself. So what's the best way to ensure that? To go ahead and clip her wings. So he clipped the wings, sent her away, but then captured her afterwards. So what's the halacha? So Nagde Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda flogged him. Why did Rabbi Yehuda flog him? Because Rabbi Yehuda felt that he was acting inappropriately by compromising the mother bird ultimately from flying away. Now, also what's unfolding over here is as follows. What's unfolding over here is that Halacha Lamaisa, Rabbi Yehuda is understanding that the Halacha of Shalech to Shalech Esaim, sending away the mother, is mamish allowing the mother to take flight. Therefore, anything you do which compromises the mother's ability to take flight, by definition, is going to be usur. Therefore, he goes ahead and he flogs him. So Nagde Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Amar lei, zil rabi lei gadfei v'shalcha. What else you have to do, let the wings grow back, and then go ahead and send her away again. So allow the wings to grow back, and then you could fulfill the mitzvah of shiloach hakein in the appropriate way. So the Gemara says, Kiman. Let's analyze this for just a moment. Who's it now, Rabbi Yehuda? The part that the Gemara is focusing on over here is that Rabbi Yehuda gave this guy Malchus. So in accordance with whose opinion did Rabbi Yehuda administer Malchus? So come on. Ik Rabbi Yehuda. If it's like Rabbi Yehuda, loke ve'in mishaleach. So something in Rabbi, remember again, this goes back to yesterday's daf. We had a fundamental machlokes about what happens if you take the mother. You take the mother before you go ahead and send her away from the young. So I actually grab the mother. I don't send her away. I grab the mother bird. So now the shaila is, I want to take the young. So what do I do now? So remember again, we had a machlokis. Rabbi Huda said that ultimately, again, you get Malchus. You get Malchus because you violated the lav and the assay of shaliach, the shalach lo tzikach, but imam shaliach. But there's no such thing as putting the mother back on the nest and then sending her away. Because Rabbi Yehuda's logic is the mitzvah of shiloach hakein is what we call the mitzvah meikara. The only way the mitzvah works is if sending away the mother bird is the first interaction you have with this mother. If there's some other previous interaction, you have by definition obviated the performance of the mitzvah. That's Rabbi Yehuda. So if it's Rabbi Yehuda, so ultimately again you get Malchus, sure you get Malchus, but there's no longer any more halacha of having to send away the mother bird. And therefore, again, why would Rav Yehuda have told the guy, let the wings grow back, and then send her away? Ikir Rabbanon, and if it's like the Rabbanon, Mishaleach ve'ein aloket. It was according to the Rabbanon, so Shiluach HaKein is a lav hanitak la'aseh, which means what? Which means that halacha l'maaseh, even if I went ahead and I seized the mother, instead of sending her away, I could remedy that how? Put her back on the nest, and what? And what? Send her away, start again. So therefore again, and there wouldn't be Malchus. So both say, so who, in accordance with whose opinion, was Rav Yehuda administering Malchus? To which the Gemara said, the Olam Kirabanon, in fact, it was like the position of the Rabbanon, Umakos Mardus Midirabanon. And I both say, in fact, again, we're passing like the Rabbanon, and therefore again, that's why I both say, the real Eitzah over here, the real Eitzah was what? Was go ahead and put the mother back, right, put the mother back, let her wings grow back, and then go ahead and send her away. That's in accordance, ultimately, again, with the Rabbanon. So why did Rabbi Yehuda administer Malchus? What we call Malchus Mardus, Rabbosai. These were rabbinic lashes. rabbinic lashes, and sometimes again you see this, that the rabban are administer lashes when they feel that there is a need to do so, when there's a need to make a statement, when there's a need to reinforce halacha, that's called makas mardos. Good. Hahuda asal kameh diraba. So by the way, we saw that halacha already yesterday, right, that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, this is in Reish Tzadik Beis, Sif Dalid, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Shulchan Aruch Paskins as follows. Vim rotza lach toch kinafea kodem shi yishalchena kadei shlatucha lifrach liyikachena eina rashai eli yishalchena miyadim kinafea kadei shlatucha lifrach ula achar shetetzi miyado yikachena im yertza. So we'll say, listen to this. So the halacha l'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch says, you are not permitted to clip the wings of the mother prior to sending her away in an effort to prevent her from taking full flight, right? Rather, again, you have to let her take full flight. If you want, you can capture her afterwards. And if you did clip her wings, you should wait till her wings grow back, and then you can go ahead and send her. So we'll say, so two interesting halachas that come out from this. So first of all, interestingly enough, sending away the mother bird. So sending away the mother bird, halacha l'maisa, does not preclude you in any way from tracking her down and capturing her. So for example, again, if you send away the mother bird, once she takes flight, if you happen to be an especially good sprinter, right, and you run after her, halacha l'maisa, you could capture her and eat her. That's fine. The idea that you can't do is you can't clip her wings. Right, you can't clip her wings from preventing her from taking flight, and if you did so, you have to wait till the wings regenerate ultimately before going ahead and fulfilling the mitzvah. So the Gemara goes back there. Listen to this. So a guy came before Rava. Amrlei, tema mahu. So the man asked Rava, what is the status of a tema? Rashi says, tema is of tahu. It's a kosher bird. So he's asking, is a tema subject to the halachos of shiluach hakein? Tema mahu. Amr. Lo yada haygarva da'oftar chayv l'shaluchay. So Rabbi says to the guy, I don't understand, what's your shayla? You know that the tame is a kosher bird. If you know that the tame is a kosher bird, why are you asking me the shayla? In other words, it's obvious. If it's a kosher bird, then it is subject to the halachos of shiluach hakein. Amarle. So Rabbi said, maybe where your question was, Dilma chad bi asohu deramya. Right? So maybe Rabbi said, maybe it was your question, if there's only one egg or one chick in the nest, is there a chiyuv for shiluach hakein under that circumstance? Now, also remember again, we already saw this, but the reason why this would be a shiloh was why? Because ultimately, again, the pasuk frames it in the plural, banim or efrochim, right? So old barbeitzim or efrochim. So because it phrases it in the plural, maybe again the mitzvah of shiluach hakein only applies to two or more chicks. Two or more eggs. And remember again, we worked through this in the Gemara. So Rava says to the guy, maybe that was your kasha. So the man says, yes, that was my kasha. Right? What happens if there's only one egg? What happens if there's only one chick? So the Gemara says, so Amarle, hi, yadi lecha, masnisinhi. So the truth is, good kasha. This is a Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Ein sham ela efrach, echad ubeisa achos, chayiv lishaliach. So ultimately, again, even if there's only one egg, or even if there's only one chick, you are chayiv ultimately to go ahead and send it away. Shalcha va'ahas. So the Gemara says, chayiv l'shaleach. Fine. So we'll say, so this is how Rabbi Paskin for the guy. So ultimately, again, the question that the man came to ask him was, I have a nest, it only has one egg, am I chayiv in shiluach? Am I chayiv in shiluach? Rabbi says, yes, you are chayiv in shiluach, it's a Mishnah. So the guy, the questioner, sent away the mother bird. Now watch this. Afterwards, what did Rava do? Rava set a trap and he captured the bird. He set a trap and he captured the bird. The Gemara says, V'leichosh lichashada. So doesn't Rava have to be worried that this looks a little bit shady? In other words, the guy came to ask you a shayla. Do you have an obligation to send away the mother bird or not? You said yes. And that very bird that you paskin about, now what? Now you go ahead and you trap it. I will say, now to be clear, again, remember, did Rava do anything wrong? Of course, this is the halacha, right? The halacha, it happened, somebody asked him a shayla. He didn't do anything wrong. The issue that the Gemara is raising over here is there not an obligation ultimately, again, to kind of be beyond reproach, right? Especially for the posek, especially for Rava, do you not want to make sure that at the end of the day, right, your actions are above any type of potential issues? So which the Gemara says, kila achar yad. Ultimately, again, kila achar yad, look at Rashi, Rabosai. Kila achar yad really means like with the shinui. Although in this context, what it means, if you look at Rashi, kila achar yad, it's the last of the short lines in Rashi. Meirachok piri shamatsuda, shalohevin amishaleach. Rava set the trap far away. So therefore, again, the person who was asking the question really did not know what had occurred. So Rava set the trap in a way that it was not clear that this was the same bird. Good. To which the Gemara says, fine. Turn right on. But it's another interesting case. Yone shovach v'yone aliyah, chayavos bishlach. Let's listen to this case. Birds, right, or doves in a dovecote, right, or doves in an aliyah. They both say, now it's important to qualify what kind of birds we're talking about over here. So we'll say, so these are, now remember, a dovecote is often owned by an individual. An aliyah, an upper story, is owned by an individual. These birds, however, are free-range doves. In other words, they are choosing to make their home in this dovecote, but they are free to come and go. They are not owned by the owner. Right? Same thing again with the aliyah. They're free-range doves. They are free to come and go. So we'll say, now watch this. So therefore, again, because they're free, because remember, again, if they were owned by the owner, is there an obligation of shiluach hakein? No. Because remember, again, this is ki kari lecha kan sipar bader, ki kari prat lemezumen. So again, I want to point out, this is ownerless birds in someone's property. In someone's property. So watch this. So chayavos b'shiluach. So halacha number one is they're chayav b'shiluach. You have to send them away before taking the eggs. However, va'asuros mishum gezel mishum darki shalom. We'll say now this is very interesting. Now because they're chayav b'shiluach, what does that mean? That means ultimately, again, they are ownerless. Yet, what's supposed to say? Because they're ownerless. So let's say again, it's Reuven's dovecote. Can I go over to Reuven's dovecote and grab a dove, one of these free range doves out of there? Can I do that? The answer would seem to be yes. Yes, I don't understand. If it's ownerless, it's ownerless. Yet the Gemara says, Asuros mishum gezum shum darki shalom. You're not allowed to take it, right? You're not allowed to take the birds from there. Mishum darki shalom. In order to preserve communal peace. Which almost says another way of saying, technically speaking, the doves are not owned. And we'll discuss why that is. Right? The doves are not owned, but never, so therefore, technically speaking, you can take it. But because of darki shalom, we tell you not to take it. So the Gemara says, okay, let's analyze this. So we'll say, you'll see, by the way, that these are two inherently contradictory statements. On one hand, to say that the birds are chayiv and shiluach means what? Means what? They are ownerless. To say that you can steal it because of darkei shalom means that they are owned. So it says the Gemara, vim isa lahad am rabbi osi rabbi chanina, chatzero shal adam konelo shalomi daito. But one second. If you hold the Rabbi Yosi Rachanin, who says what Rabbi Osai, that a person's chaser has the ability to acquire on his behalf, even without his knowledge, then what Rabbi Osai, what does that mean? Then these birds should what? These birds should be owned by Reuven, the owner of the dovecote. So therefore, kari kan, ki kare, prat lemezuman. Rabbi Osai, these should be owned birds. And if they are owned birds, then they should be exempt from the obligation of shiluach. Amarav, listen to this. Beitza im yitzias ruba hudi chayev b'shiluach. So I say, Rabbi, it's an interesting distinction. When does an egg become subject to the obligation of shiluach, which Rabbi Osei means? At what point in time do you have to shoo away the mother bird before taking the egg? When the majority of the egg has exited the mother. Mikna lokani adatipa lachatzero. But interestingly enough, the owner does not acquire the egg until when? Until it falls into his chatzar. So I'll say, so interestingly enough, there's different stages. When the majority of the egg exits the mother, it becomes chayiv in shiluach. When the only once the egg falls into the chatzar, does the chatzar have the ability to acquire it? V'chi katani chayavas b'shiluach mikamei detipo lechatzero. So maybe you'll say, therefore again, when the brayso over here says that in this case you have to send away the mother, when is that? That's prior to the eggs falling into the chatzar. Prior to the eggs falling into the chatzar. So at that moment, in this very specific time frame, when the majority of the egg has exited the mother, but the egg has not fallen into the chatzar, so the birds will be subject to shiluach because the chatzar has not yet acquired the eggs. Ihachi, If that's the case, that the chatzar has not acquired the eggs, then what? Amai asuros mishum gezel. Then we'll say, again, that's fine. I could live with that answer. That's all right. Tell me that again in this very specific moment when the majority of the egg has exited the mother, but the egg has not dropped into the chatzar. The mother will be, the eggs are chayiv for shiluach because the chatzar has not yet acquired the eggs. If the chatzar has not yet acquired the eggs, then why would there be any kind of chayiv of gezel? So which the Gemara says, you're right, a'imam. When we said that there is a halacha of gezel mishum darkei shalom, that's not on the eggs. What is that on? That's on the mother. It's on the mother. Look at Rashi Rabbo say, three lines into the wide lines. A'iman, dark yeshalom de ka'amar afilu al ha'im atzma yesh mishum dark yeshalom. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara says over here, that when we said that the bird is subject to gezel mishum dark yeshalom, that wasn't talking about the chicks, but rather again, that was talking about the mother. I was talking about the mother. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, the specific case that we're dealing with over here is that the chick, the eggs, the majority of the egg exited the mother, therefore chayiv in shiluach, has not yet dropped to the chatzar, therefore not acquired by the chatzar, but the gezel mishum darkei shalom is not on the eggs. The gezel mishum darkei shalom is on the mother, to which the Gemara says, vibayzin, the other possibility is the olam abeitza. No, the darkei shalom statement is on the beitza, is on the egg. And what? Ubeitza, Kevan de nafek le ruba daite ale. And I will say, when the owner of the coop, right, when the owner of the shovach, the dovecote, sees the majority of the egg exit the mother, his das is on it. Then I will say, now let's analyze this. Now that his das is on it, does that acquire it for him? No. But what it does is it creates a perception of ownership. And that's why Chazal come along and say, because there's a perception of ownership, don't take the egg, don't steal the egg, mishum darkei shalom. Is it real theft if you come in and you grab the egg? No, it's not. Because I will say, remember again, having das, seeing something and say, oh wow, I'm so excited to own it, does not make you own it. You have to own something through specific halachic mechanisms. But because his das is on it, Chazal said, and it's in, and remember again, this ownerless bird is in his dovecote, Chazal said, don't go ahead and take the egg. Because dark is shalom. Beautiful. So the Gemara says, V'hashad amrav Yehuda amrav asr lezakos bebeitzim she'im rovetzes aleihem. And now that Rav Yehuda is the name of Rav, that's what? You cannot acquire eggs that the mother is sitting on. She'ne emar shaleach es ha'im v'hadra barim tikach lach. So we'll say, now listen to this. Now that we said that you can't acquire eggs that the mother is sitting on. Why? Because the pasuk says, send away the mother, and then take the kids, then take the offspring. Afilu tima, afagav the nafa lechatzero. So we'll say, then you could even say that we're dealing with a case. So remember, up until this point, we were setting up this case, I will say, is that we're talking about a situation where the majority of the egg, right? Ownerless birds that have nestled in someone's dovecote. Now what occurred? Halacha lemaisa, again, the majority of the egg has exited the mother, at which point in time the chiyuv of shiluach has set in, yet what? The dovecote has not acquired the eggs on behalf of the owners. The mishum gezel mishum darkei shalom is one of two things. Either you can't take the mother, mishum darkei shalom, or you can't take the eggs, mishum darkei shalom. Now the Gemara says, well, one second. The truth is, now that we just said before, shaleach haseim v'hadra banim tikach lach, that you can't take the eggs until the mother gets off the eggs. So the Gemara says, "Afilu tima, afagav dinafal lechatzero." Even if it's a case where the egg actually fell into the chatzer, kol hecha diu matzi zochi chatzero namizachya. I will say, how does kinyan chatzer work? Kinyan chatzer could only acquire something that you could acquire yourself. V'kol hecha diu lo matzi zochi chatzero nami lo zachya. And Abba say, if you can't acquire it, your chatzar also can't acquire it. So we'll say, this is actually amazing. Ihachi, so Abba, listen to this. What does this mean? So remember again, as long as the mother is sitting on the eggs, do you have the ability to acquire the eggs? And the answer is no. Right? You have to send away the mother in order to acquire the eggs. Abba say, the halacha is kinyan chatzar. We saw this again many a times. My chatzar is an extension of me. And therefore, by definition, whatever I can do, my chatzar can do. whatever I can't do, my chatzar can't do. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, if I will say again, I can't acquire the eggs because the mother's sitting on them, my chatzar can't acquire them either. So even if you want to set this up as a case where the mother fully delivered the egg and the egg fell into the chatzar still can't acquire the egg on behalf of the mother because halacha lemaisa, the chatzar can't acquire the egg on behalf of the owner of the chatzar, right? Or in this case, again, the shovach, the owner of the dovecote, because the mother's still sitting on them. Iachi, if that's the case, amaya suros mifnei darki shalom. If that's the case, then why are the eggs asra as darki shalom? Here we go. Eid the shalcha, if you sent away the mother bird, gezel ma'al yu. So say, if I sent away the mother bird, then the owner of the shovach has officially acquired the eggs. Eid the lo shalcha, and if ultimately, again, I have not sent away the mother bird, shaluchei boy. Ultimately, again, you have to send away the mother birds before you can do anything with the eggs. To which the Gemara says, bikatan. What are we talking about over here? Well, this is actually amazing. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Bikatan. Bikatan, thank you. Six lines up, bikatan. Delav bar shiluachu. We'll say, so what happened over here? We're talking about over here with a katan, a child, who is obviously not obligated in the midst of shiluach. And what happened? We'll say, watch this. A katan came into the egg, to the shovach, and took the eggs. He took the eggs without what? Without sending away the mother. Without sending away the mother. To which the Gemara says, one second. So, bekatan bar darki shalomu. So it's a very simple case. Kid came into the dovecote, took the eggs, didn't send away the mother. So I'll say, so now what? So it's a kid, right? A kid is not responsible for his actions, right? Halachically, in certain respects. So therefore, again, what's the gezel? What's the theft over here? To which is a child obligated in darkei shalom? Hachi kamar. This is what the Raisa means to say. Aviv shal katan chayiv lahachzir lo mipnei darkei shalom. But I'll say, this is amazing. Parents are responsible for what their kids do. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, if my kid takes eggs from the chicken coop, right, from the dovecote, halacha lemaisa, I, the father, am obligated to return them, alts darkei shalom. Didn't my kid actually commit an act of theft? On a technical level, the answer is no, probably. You could set it up that way. But because of darkei shalom, ultimately, again, I'm obligated to go ahead and give back the eggs. So we'll say, so therefore, again, two different models in this, right? Either, again, one potential is the darkei shalom is on the mother, one potential is the darkei shalom is on the eggs, and the other possibility is that the darkei shalom is a case of a katan who ends up taking the eggs of an ownerless bird from the shovach, which belongs to someone, and ultimately the braisa tells me, father, mother, good idea to return the eggs that your kids took from someone's shovach, even though those eggs came from an ownerless dovecote, al darkei shalom. Good. So says Kavaiter. So the Gemara says as follows. Good. Levi bar Simon. I will say last two lines. Levi bar Simon, akni peros shovcho Rabbi Yehuda. Supposed to say, so Levi bar Simon went ahead and gave over the peros of his shovach to Rabbi Yehuda. Supposed to say, now watch what happened over here. So in this situation, Levi bar Simon gave over the peros shovcho. So he had offspring. He had offspring from his dovecote that he gave over to someone. So to Rabbi Yehuda, aslikim in the Shmuel. Supposed to listen to this. So he came before Shmuel. Now both say, so understand what's happening. Levi owns the dovecote. Levi is selling or giving over the dovecote to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda comes before Shmuel. That's like coming to Shmuel. And he comes to Shmuel, and presumably he asks Shmuel, look at Rashi, so we'll see what Rabbi Yehuda was actually asking Shmuel, but Shmuel says to him, Amalei, zil tirof akan, diliskabo v'kaninu. Go over and bang on the dovecote, so that, literally translated, diliskabo v'kaninu, so that the birds lift themselves up, sit back down, so that you acquire them. Okay, so the Gemara, look at Rashi, diliskabinu miraskha. Ultimately, again, the birds will be startled. As a result of being startled, they'll lift up the nest, then they'll settle back down. So the Gemara says, Lemai, I don't understand what's happening over here. Ilam mikna, if what Shmuel was advising Rav Yehuda was how to acquire the birds, then there's another way to acquire the birds. Likninhu le besuder. Rabbi, you could do a what's called the Kinyan Suder. You're all well versed in this now with selling your chametz, right? So you could do a Kinyan Suder, right? So Rabbi, in other words, you don't have to go ahead and rattle the duff coat. Just do a Kinyan Suder, and that's going to be enough. Rashi says Likninhu besuder. And I don't understand. Rabbi, what's the problem over here? Let them do a Kinyan Suder. It's a Ibi Yamtiv. So I'll say, if we're dealing with the case of Yamtiv, and what's the situation over here? Look at Rashi. V'im liyamtov, last Rashi on the daf. Shu erev yamtov ulamachar yasur mishum muktza. Ubal lishon b'mahachantem. Lama li haiter chalutra hakanabos. Listen to this. So maybe the issue is a yamtiv issue. The halach is also, we saw this in the Mishnah Maseches Be'ah, which is that if you have a dove coat, and you want to use some of those doves on yamtiv, you have to be making them. You have to prepare them. So maybe what Shmuel was telling Rabbi Yehuda was what? Go ahead and knock on the dovecote, right? Therefore, the birds get up. That's actively preparing them. And then when they settle back down, they're fit for yamtiv use. There's an easier way. Top of kuf mem beis, ba'omed, ibi yamtiv, ba'omed, va'omer, za'ani notel, va'za'ani notel, ha'sagya. But say, for yamtiv, it's enough just to say what? It's enough just to say, I'm going to eat this one, and I'm going to eat that one, and I'm going to eat that one. Or it's enough even to be memana them, without going ahead and doing anything. To which the Gemara says, what's the case over here? Hano peri charati habu. The Levi bar Simon gufei lo hava kanilu. But in reality, there were new eggs in the nest. New eggs in the nest. Levi himself, right, in other words, the owner of the nest, or the owner of the dovecote, I should say, did not even acquire these new eggs himself. Look at Rashi. Peri charati shetila osamain velo amda me'aleh me'olam velo kansalo chatzeru delevi the asr lezakos ben kozman shem rovetzasayim. So let's remember again, this is what we just said before. The only time that the kup has the ability, the chatzer has the ability to acquire the eggs is when? At some point in time when the mother leaves the nest. But if the mother has never left the nest, the chatzer, in this case the dovecote, does not have the ability to go ahead and acquire the eggs. So watch what happens over it. It's actually quite fascinating. Levi is selling this dovecote to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda he knows how to acquire a dovecote, so there is going to be fine. The problem is, interestingly enough, there are eggs in this dovecote that have not yet been acquired by the chatzer of the dovecote. So now, Rabbi Yehuda comes to Shmuel and says, Rabbi, how do I acquire the eggs? To which Shmuel says, very simple. Go to the dovecote, knock on the wall of the dovecote. What's going to happen? The mothers will fly, right? They'll lift off the nest. When they lift off the nest, in that moment, the chatzer has the ability to acquire the eggs. Now, so now watch this. So the Gemara says, so listen to this interesting Eitzah. Listen to what Shmuel's advice was. Shmuel's advice to Rabbi Yehuda was, before you buy this from Levi, here's what you should do. Go over to the nest, knock on the dovecote, right? Knock on the dovecote, let the birds take flight, let Levi then acquire everything in the dovecote. Now he owns the mothers, he owns the eggs. Now you could acquire the entire dovecote, ultimately with a Kenyan Siddur, with a normative Kenyan, and now you are the owner of everything in the dovecote. Beautiful. Mishnah. Lo yita adam aimal abanim. The halacha is that a person, we actually saw this in yesterday's daf, a person should not go ahead and take the mother, right, without sending her away first, even if it's for the purpose of a mitzvah, right? This we saw, we'll say this was yesterday's daf. Even for the purpose of a mitzvah, halacha l'maisa, a mitzvah usage for the bird does not obviate the mitzvah of shiluach hakein. So the Gemara says, "Uma im mitzvah kala sheki iser." But say, if even a very small mitzvah that only costs you an iser, then we'll say, now what does that mean? So the mitzvah of shiluach hakein doesn't cost you any money. At most, what might it cost you? A little bit of time. A little bit of time. Isser is a very small denomination of a coin. So what it means is the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein there's virtually no investment on my part. Yet Amra Torah Leman Yitav Lecha Varach the Yamim. Yet the pasuk says it shall be good for you, and you will enjoy longevity. Incredible schar. Kal v'chomer amitzos chamuro shabatora. I will say, if this is the schar, if this is the reward that the Torah promises for a relatively easy mitzvah, then imagine the schar we get for more difficult mitzvahs. Rashi says, shiki iser, shein b'chisaron kis ela davar muat. Again, there's very little effort involved, ultimately, again, in the midst of Shiloach HaKein, yet there's so much reward. Imagine the reward we actually get for difficult mitzvahs. Incredible. Says the Gemara Tanya, Devei Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Ein lecho kol mitzvah u'mitzvah shevetorah, shematan schara bitzida, shein tchias ha-mesim tuluyaba. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Yaakov says, every single mitzvah in the Torah that mentions schar, so again, attached to that schar is tchias ha-mesim. Which I will say means what? Which means Rabbi Yaakov is going to say that every single time the Torah mentions schar, that's not for schar in this world. That's for schar in Olam Haba. That's for schar in the world to come. Right? So the Gemara says, so for example, kibodah ve'im ksiv leman ya'arichun yomecha uleman yitavlach. So by honoring your parents, I will say, it says you shall enjoy longevity and it shall be good for you. B'shiluach hakein, by sending away the mother bird, it says, ksiv, l'man yitav l'cha v'arach t'yamim. So I will say, so this is what Rabbi Yaakov says. But what about the following case? Hari sha'amar lo aviv alei l'bira. So let's say the following case. A father tells his child, go up, my son, to the bira. Right? Bira literally means like a tower. But let's say a father tells his son, go up to the nest that's high up in the tower. But how will he goes los? And bring me the young chicks. Va'Allah, the son goes up, the child goes up. V'shalach asaim, and the child sends away the mother bird. V'lakach asabanim, and then only takes the chicks. U'bechazaras nafal meis. And what happens? Nebach, as the child is coming down from the tree, the child falls down and dies. Heichan arichos yamim shalzeh. V'heichan tovaso shalzeh. Tell me, says Rabbi Yaakov. Where is the arichos yomim for this child? Where is the tova for this child? Ella leman ya'arichon yamech. So we'll say, Rabbi Yaakov, in this case, remember there are two things happening simultaneously, which is what? Kibbut ha-ve'im and shiluach ha-kein. Both mitzvos that carry with them the reward of leman ya'arichon yamecha, longevity. Rabbi Yaakov says, you have this situation where a father sends his son to go up the high tree to go ahead and get the birds, right? The son listens. He sends away the mother bird. He listens to his father. He listens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he comes back down from the tree and he falls off the tree and dies. So where is the arichos yamim in that? So the Gemara says, rather, what does it mean? Ela leman ya'arichun yamecha ba'olam shekula aruch. What does it mean that your days will be aruch, right? To have longevity in the world of longevity, in the yom shekula, ba'olam shekula aruch, which I will say is a reference to Olam Haba. Olam Anyitav Lecha, it shall be good for you, the Olam Shekulo Tov, in the world which is all good. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Yaakov understands that whenever the Torah speaks about Laman Yarichun Yamecha, Laman Yitav Lech, these are rewards ultimately again in the world to come. These are rewards in the world to come. Rewards in the world to come. So what the Gemara says, V'dilma lo havahachi, Rabbi Yaakov, you're concocting a case. But who says a case like this ever occurred? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yaakov, Maisa Chaza. I will say, Rabbi Yaakov is not concocting a case. Rabbi Yaakov is telling you something that he actually saw. He saw this episode. And upon seeing this episode, led him to understand that Leman Ya'arichun Yamecha, the longevity that the Torah promises, Leman Yitavlach, the brach of Tov that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to Moshe, is not in this world, but rather ultimately, again, it is in the world to come. Now, Moshe, I want to tell you something about this, which is incredibly important. Let's finish this, and then I'll tell you something important. V'dilma Mahara Ba'avera Hava. Well, how do you know? Maybe this young man, maybe he was being Mahara Ba'avera. Maybe he had Avera thoughts, and that's why he was being punished. To which the Gemara says, "Machshava ra in Hakadosh Baruch Hu mitzar for lemaisa." Thank God for this, right? Hakadosh Baruch Hu does not treat avera thoughts like actions. I will say, otherwise, every single one of us would be doomed, right? Hakadosh Baruch Hu does not. So again, that's good news that by avera thoughts, Hakadosh Baruch Hu does not treat it like a maisa. I've Dilma Bahara Bavod Zarahava. Maybe the child, maybe the young man, but when you say child, child doesn't have to mean like a minor, like a katan. Maybe the young man was thinking about Avodah Zarah, and I will say Avodah Zarah is the one Avera that you are held accountable for Avodah Zarah thoughts. Dichsiv. Leman Tafos has based Yisrael Belibam. But say the Pasek literally says, and in Yecheskel, and I will hold Beis Yisrael accountable for that which is in their heart. The Navi is talking about over here, this is by Avodah Zarah, that you are held accountable by Avodah Zarah that you think about. This is what it means to say. Im Isa Diika Schar Mitzvahs Bahai Alma Tehanile. Let's say this is what Rabbi Yaakov was saying. If there really was Schar Mitzvah, then even if this kid was having thoughts of Avodah Zarah, the schar of those mitzvos should have helped him in this circumstance. Okay, let's say he was. He's going up the tree, he's going up the tree, he's honoring his father. He filled mitzvah shiluach hakein. Let's say even for argument's sake, he is thinking about, that went faster than I thought. What should I do with the rest of my day? Let me worship Avodah Zarah. Right? Even if he was thinking about that on the way down, the schar of these mitzvos should have helped him. That's what Rabbi Yaakov is theologically positing. Let's say even if he was thinking about Avodah Zarah, he just went ahead and fulfilled the mitzvah of Kibbur Ave'im and Shiluach HaKein. Both mitzvahs with carry with them L'man Yitav Lach and Arichosem longevity. Why would those mitzvahs have not helped him in the face even of this heinous Aveira? Rather, Rabbi Yaakov says, leads me to one conclusion. The Gemara says, "Evrachi kamar imis the schar mitzvahs v'hayalma tahanile v'tagin aleh d'lolei se lidei hirur v'lesek." So again, those mitzvahs should have helped him not to come to the negative thoughts of Avodah Zarah to begin with. And if he was going to have the negative thoughts of Avodah Zarah, they should have helped to what? To shield him from the punishment. Ella, rather, Rabbi Yosef Yaakov arrives at a dramatic theological conclusion: schar mitzvah v'hayalma leka. Rather, again, ultimately, again, Rabbi say that's what? There is no reward for mitzvos in this world. Rabbi say, now this is incredibly important. What does this mean? Schar mitzvah b'hayal malekah. Now the Archaim HaKadosh raises the point, because remember, look at the beginning of Parshas Bichukosai. What does the Torah say? In Bichukosai telechu mitzvosai tishmoru. If you keep my mitzvos. And Rabbi say, what does the Torah HaKadosh itself talk about? Material reward. Right? Your flocks, your money, your crop, all this stuff. So the Archaim says something amazing. That will say something different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you go ahead and you demonstrate a ratzon to serve me, I will help you along that path. That's a concept of Bederech Sha'adam Rotzei Leilech Molichin Oso. The path that you choose for yourself, that's the path that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you along. If I show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I want to serve him, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we know that very often the greatest obstacle to Ruchnius is Gashmius. I always say, when a person struggles financially, everything in life, everything, you know, you read these stories of tzaddikim who lived in abject poverty and still went ahead and served the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's great. That's why they're tzaddikim, right? For most of us who are not tzaddikim, I always say, so financial pressures are something, right? The Gemara says, anius, an ani, anius, ma'avirin adam idas kono. When the ani struggles, and you have to struggle financially, it is very difficult to go ahead and be a spiritual person if you don't know how you're going to pay your bills. That's the reality. So our Chaim HaKadosh says, that's in Mechukosai Teilichu. If you choose to go ahead and follow in my mitzvos, I will help you along that path by going ahead and what? By providing you ultimately again with money. But that's not schar for your mitzvos. That's not schar. We'll say, what is that? What is that? That's investment capital. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I want to be a partner in your spiritual ventures, and therefore, again, I'm giving you the startup capital. I'm the silent partner, God says, right? You're going to be the active partner. I'm going to be the investment partner. I'm going to invest in you. I'm going to give you everything you need for your gashmius so that you could be able to focus on your ruchnius. But that's not schar for your mitzvos. Schar for your mitzvos doesn't come in this world. Schar for your mitzvos ultimately comes in the next world. Schar mitzvah b'hayal maleka. I, v'hamar Rabbi Lozer, v'hamar Rabbi Lozer, shluchei mitzvah inu nizukim, right? V'hamar Rabbi Lozer, shluchei mitzvah inu nizukim. But one second, back to the case of the kid who died. But don't we say that shluchei nitzein nizakin, that ultimately, again, if you're on a mitzvah shlichos, you don't get harmed. And yet again, this young man died from coming down the tree, right? Bechazarasam shiny. It's different. Shluchei mitzvah are not nizuk when there's no, you're protected by the mitzvah. We'll say when? When you're on your way to do the mitzvah, the protection does not devolve upon you on the way back. Is that true? The Gemara says, "Vaha Amar Rabbi Lazar, Shluchei Nitzayin Nizakin, Lo Ba'ali Chasa V'Lo Bechazar Asan." Oh, what you got now? Right, it's not true. Shluchei Mitzvah will say are protected when they go and when they come. Right, you are protected by the mitzvah in the shlichus when you go for the shlichus and you go back from the shlichus. So the Gemara is asking a shayla on this particular episode. How is it that this young man fell off the tree and died when he should have been protected by the mitzvah? To which the Gemara says, "Sulam ra'ua hava umakam dekavua hezeka shiny." Well, so this is this incredible idea. What happened? It was a rickety ladder. It was a rickety ladder, and Rabbi said, "This is very important." It's true. Shluchei mitzvah inon izakin. If you're on a mitzvah mission, the mitzvah protects you. But the mitzvah protects you as long as what? You protect yourself. In other words, you have to take the normative steps to assure your own safety and security. We'll say it's an incredible, incredible Gemara, and so much to say over here. There's, of course, Kadosh Baruch Hu helps us. Kadosh Baruch Hu helps us with every single step we take. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you live in the natural world. In the natural world, you have to take care of yourself as well. D'chsiv, v'yomer Shmuel, eich eilech v'shama sha'ul v'hargeni. We'll say this is when Kadosh Baruch Hu commands Shmuel Hanavi to go and anoint one of the sons of Yishai. Sha'ul is still alive. So Shmuel says, how do you want me to go and anoint another king? And Shaul's going to hear this. And what is Shaul going to do? He's going to kill me. So the Gemara is asking, Shmuel, what are you worried about? God told you to go take care of it. If God told you to go take care of it, then what? You're golden, nothing to worry about. No. You see that even though we say Shluchei Mitzvah Einan Nizakin, the Shaliach Mitzvah still has to take the proper steps to assure his own safety and security. So apparently, again, this episode ultimately, again, was with the Sulam Ra'uah. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, this is incredible. Al-Male Darshe Acher Lahaikra Ki Rabbi Yaakov Bar Bartei Lo Chata. So we'll say, listen to this. Had only Acher, we'll say, who's Acher? Elisha ben Avuya. Had only Elisha ben Avuya understood the Pasek like Rabbi Yaakov, the son of his daughter. We'll say, isn't this incredible? Rabbi Yaakov was the son of Elisha ben Avuya's daughter, which means Rabbi Yaakov was Elisha ben Avuya's grandson. Rabbi Yaakov just made the drasha. That's what Rabbi say. Leman ya'arichun yamecha, leman yitav lach. Doesn't only applies where? In Olam Haba. Not in this world. Had only Elisha ben Avuya understood the drasha of his grandson, he could have saved himself from a life of apikarsus. Why? My chaza. What did Elisha see? What did Elisha ben Avuya see that caused him to leave the fold? Ika de amri ki hai maisa. So some say he mamish saw this episode. He saw this episode that Rabbi Yaakov witnessed. He saw the young boy, the young man, going up in accordance with the command of his father, ultimately to the tree, send away the mother bird, come down. In fact, Rabbi say the Medrash in Koheles Rabbah has a different version. In the Medrash of Koheles Rabbah, Elisha ben Avuya is sitting Babikas Ginosar. He's sitting in the area of Ginosar, which is right, it's in the north of Eretz Yisrael. He's sitting in Ginosar. On Shabbos, he sees a guy go ahead and climb the tree, send away the mother bird, come back down unharmed. Two violations, climbing a tree, not standing with the mother bird, taking the chicks, not standing with the mother bird, he comes down fine. Matzei Shabbos, he sees another young man whose father asked him to go get the chicks. The young man waits till after Shabbos, sends away the mother bird, comes back down, is bitten by a snake, and dies. So in the Medrash version, not only does he see a young man who fulfilled the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein and the mitzvah of Kibbud Eim, and comes back and falls off the tree and dies senselessly, he sees the contrast. He sees someone who was Mechalo Shabbos and Mechalo the mitzvahs go up and down unharmed, and a young man who went ahead and did both of these mitzvahs, Kibbud Av Ve'eim and Shiluach HaKein, and dies in such a random way. And this leads Elisha ben Avuya to say, Les din v'les dayon. There is no God, there is no judge, there is no justice, there is no reward. How could this happen? Nebuch. And what happens, Elisha ben Avuya? You just misunderstood a pasuk. You just misunderstood a pasuk. You thought that Leman Ya'arichun Yamecha meant this world. Had you only known the drasha of your enakel, right? Had you only known the drasha of your grandson, that Leman Ya'arichun Yamecha, Leman Yitavlach, does not apply in this world. but it's for the next world. Yes, there's investment capital. That's Parshas Bechukosai. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us Gashmius to help us along in our spiritual journey, but that's not the reward ultimately, again, for the mitzvos. So the Gemara says that's one possibility. Vika de Amri Lisha de Chutzpis HaTorgiman Chaza Tava Muteles Ba'ashba. But the other possibility is, what did Elisha ben Avuya see that led him to a life of apostasy, the life of Apikarsus? He saw the tongue of Chutzpis HaTorgiman. But say Chutzpis HaTorgiman was the Torgiman for Rabbi Gamliel. He was one of the Asar HaRugimachos, one of the 10 martyrs. And what the Romans did is, before they executed him, they cut out his tongue and they threw it to the pigs. They threw it to the Chazerim, the Medrash says. And he said, and Elisha ben Avuya sees, and he says, Amar, Pesh Hebek Margalios Yelachoch Afar. Ultimately, again, the mouth that said such beautiful gems of Torah is now discarded in the garbage heap, and that leads Elisha ben Avuya to leave the fold. Vuhulo yada, and Elisha ben Avuya did not know. Leman yitav lach ba'olam shekula tov, leman yarichon yamecha ba'olam shekula aruch. And Elisha ben Avuya Nebach did not know the drasha of his grandson. Leman yitav lach, yes, it will be good for you. Not that, but that promise is not for this world. That promise is for the world to come. Ba'olam shekula tov. Leman ya'arichon yamecha. You will enjoy longevity. But that's bi'olam shekula aruch. That ultimately, again, is in the world that is forever. In olam haba. And had only Elisha ben Avuya understood this drasha, had only understood that, I will say, then what? Then ultimately, again, he could have saved himself from a life of incredible pain and apostasy. Well, so I'll just end off by saying the following. So this is the sheet of Rabbi Yaakov. You know, of course, through our journeys in Shas, this statement is not agreed on by all. The concept of Schar Mitzvah Hai Alma Ika Hai Alma Leka, is the reward for mitzvos in this world or not, is a fundamental theological debate. But Rabbi Yaakov is obviously advancing a very cogent argument that many subscribe to. And I will say, I'll tell you something amazing. There's a story, there's a beautiful ma'isa, that a man once came to Rabbi Yitzhak Berditchev, and he said, Rebbe, your Torah is false. Your Torah is false. So the Rebbe said, how can you say such a thing like this? So he said, I'll tell you. The pasuk says in Shema, V'hayayim shamoa tishmua mitzvosai. You will go ahead, right, if you listen to my mitzvot. So again, once again, we see it every single day, twice a day. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will go ahead and give us all of this reward. So the man says to the Rebbe, Rebbe, your Torah is a liar, Torah is a falsehood. Why? Because I'm fabulously wealthy. And yet, I don't observe one thing. I don't observe one thing. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchok looks at me and says, my dear child, the fact that you can ask me this shaila means that you've read Kriya Shema at least one time in your life. And there is not enough money in the world to ever repay you for that one mitzvah. I was saying, we are so privileged. You know, we're going into a Yom Tov when we celebrate the birth of our nation. And the birth of our nation ultimately is solidified and concretized by Har Sinai when we get the Torah, all of our mitzvos. And I will say, sometimes we don't realize the incredible treasure we have. There's not enough money in the world for one Shema. There's not enough money in the world for one Hanachas Tefillin. And it's true, maybe there's not reward for mitzvos in this world. But one thing we know, which is, if we demonstrate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we want to live a life of Ruchnius, that we want to live a life, ultimately, again, of devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the Ribono Shel Olam will help us along that way, Rabbi Osai. He will give us the investment capital to go ahead and be successful. But we have to demonstrate the Ratzon. We have to demonstrate the will. We have to show through our actions, through our lifestyle, that we want a life of Kiddushah. And if we want that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, okay, you demonstrated the Ratzon, I'll be the silent partner, I'll be the capital partner, I'll be the investment partner, I'll give you what you need to actualize your spiritual goals. But we have to make the declaration, not just in word, but in deed. And even if there's not going to be a reward in this world, Rabbi Osai, the knowledge that every single mitzvah we do, big or small, provides incredible light and incredible spiritual treasure in the Yom Shekula Aruch, in the Olam Shekala Aruch, in the Olam Shekula Tov, will say something absolutely incredible. We will make the official scene of Mirza Hashem from Maseches Chulin after the Yom Tiv. You'll stay tuned for details. We'll say it has been an incredible privilege to go through this 142 blot journey with all of you. And in Mirza Hashem, we should be Zocha to continue to make the journey together through Shas. We'll say, we're beginning a new Masechta at a very delicate time. Because, again, going into Yom Tiv, there's many different distractions in Yom Tiv. Sometimes, again, it's just the yomtiv preparation. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's the 24-hour tea room, right? But there are distractions. There are distractions. There are everyone. Yomtiv is a time not to lose traction with Daf Yomi. Yomtiv is a time to redouble your efforts with Daf Yomi. If you're not working, that doesn't mean that, no, I have more time for recreation, more time for food, more time for more outfits. What's that? It means I have more time to learn. Right? If you're going away, you're going to be on vacation, I will say, that's not, oh my gosh, how do I fit in Daf Yomi? That doesn't, it's counterintuitive. If I'm going to have time on my hands, the Shabbos say, we all will, over the course of Yom Tov, that means I have more time to learn, not less time to learn. Make sure if you're not going to be over Yom Tov, or you're not going to be in a place where there's a shir, which is impossible, there's always a shir, wherever you go, I will say, that at the end of the day, attend, the Maggid shir is not my speed, who cares? Right? Go ahead and just show up and just do your own thing. A lot of people do this every day when they come here to shir. Right? So go ahead. I'm not looking at anyone specific, right? But again, that's okay. That's okay. Because sometimes the entire point is just to show up. Just to show up. You want to do your own thing. That's fine. But at least you're showing up and you're doing your own thing. Hopefully that own thing includes a blot of Gemara. We'll say, this is the time to redouble. We're at the home stretch. We'll say, we're in Bechorus. When Bechoros, who's ever learned Bechoros before, right? And the answer is, it's going to be you come tomorrow morning. We'll say, stay stark. There's a lot of time, there's a drop-off over Yom Tov. I'm saying this now because tomorrow our ranks will be severely depleted, even more, right? We'll say, there's a big drop-off over Yom Tov. Don't be one of the Yom Tov casualties. My heart breaks. There's always a Yom Tov casualty. Just like there's a winter vacation casualty list, there's a Yom Tov casualty list. Don't be a Yom Tov casualty. This is Zman Chirusenu. This is not the time to drop off. This is the time to redouble the effort. So if you're going away and you don't have an art scroll, this is not a commercial, but you don't have an art scroll, Gemara will say, stop at Chapsies. They have late hours till 11 p.m. tonight. Get a Gemara. And I would say something else. Don't borrow a Gemara. Get your own Gemara. If you have enough money to go away, you have enough money to buy a Gemara. Right? It's an investment. It's an investment in yourself. Again, you could borrow if you don't have a chance to get it, right? But it's an investment in your learning. Because when you go in and you plop down the $25 to get a Gemara, what you're saying is, I'm in this. And most say, we'd be given such a gift, like the Rebbe says, one Kriyashma fills up an entire afterlife with schar. If one Kriyashma does that, then what does one blot Gemara do? We'll say, tomorrow we begin the next adventure, Mirat Hashem, Meseches Bechoros. An adventure, I'm telling you, if you haven't seen it, you're going to absolutely love it. We should be Zocha Mirat Hashem to finish Mesechtos. We should be Zocha Mirat Hashem to begin Mesechtos. And we should Mirat Hashem continue to march on to our ultimate goal of finishing Shas. Amen.